This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the 2024 National League Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year winner is Paul Skeens. Congratulations, Paul.
3-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 100 miles an hour. 11 strikeouts for Skeens. 6 innings of no-hit baseball in his first career start on the road. What a man.
Wow.
Paul Skeens. You got to love it, Pittsburgh. He's yours. He's yours. And the Bucks are up 8-0. Seventh coming up.
2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Paul Skeens, the wind, the pitch. He struck him out with 102. He decides to wait to the end for his fastest pitch of the day.
Here's a 1-0 to Frelick. Swinging a bouncer onto third. Hayes gloves, throw to first, got him. 7 no-hit innings for Paul Skeens in Milwaukee. On this Thursday afternoon, the all-star rookie of the Pirates getting applause from the Brewers fans. That's how well he has pitched today.
But he is not their man. He's your man. He is the man. We're talking about Paul Skeens on the mound today. Good morning, everyone. Bob Pompiani. Not with Joe Starkey today. He's off on a golf retreat. We'll hear all about it on Monday, I'm sure. But we do have opening day March Madness all rolled into one. And a man sitting across from me who is here today, and I haven't seen him in a while, but I'm glad you're here. Jim Colony, the retiree who's now playing more golf than anyone on PGA Tour. How are
still
you?
Still not gotten any better, I might add.
Well, that's okay. It's good for your handicap. You know, when you take people out, you get strokes.
Oh, I know. Wrong with that. I know. The higher it goes, the better I am. Except it's too early to report scores, though. We're not in the reporting season yet.
That's fine. There's time for that. There's no question about that.
So that 90 I shot the other day doesn't do me any good.
No, but you can... You'll probably shoot it again.
Well, I can post-enter it. Yes, I probably will.
That's right. You could wait until April 1st or whatever. Yep. Well, Jim, good to have you here. We're also joined on Thursday, as always, by Tyler Kennedy. Kennedy. What's up, TK?
Not much. He might be joining the competition, the 2-on-2.
Oh, I heard you guys talking about that.
Yeah, the little 2-on-2 tournament.
Oh,
I could grab a partner, and then we could play a six. Golf courses love stuff like that.
You know, it's up to you to facilitate that.
No, that's okay.
You got to figure that out, but we have to talk.
I'm not in your league. I'm senior tee. Bob, you've seen my game. I just can't hit the ball anymore.
That's why senior tees are there.
I know.
I'm not going to use them yet. Psychologically, that damages me.
Well, you're still a big hitter.
Yeah.
I'm not a big hitter.
Bob's got game. I've heard him talk his game down. I've heard you guys talking about this.
I'm talking it down.
Yeah. Bob's rep around the station is very high.
It's
like everyone I talk to is like, you got to watch out for him. Yeah. He's the guy. And I'm like, wow.
I'm a legitimate 13.7 handicap, Tyler. If you don't want to believe it, it's there in the gin. All right. We're here talking about a lot of stuff today, but Tyler Kennedy is brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. And off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, this is what we got going on today. Tyler's here. Jim will be here later. Jeff Hathorn will come in and offer his opinions about the Pirates, March Madness, and everything else. And, of course, the Steeler watch continues to be on. And John Pirano will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. But first of all, Jim, Tyler and I were talking, and I want to get your take on this, and then we'll get his concerning the Penguins in their last effort. it was just – by the way, I should start with this, though. John Tortorella has been fired. That's probably good news for everyone in Pittsburgh to hear that, because he's not one of those guys that people like. But Philadelphia's really struggled.
I've always been fascinated by him, and that we can get into this a little bit later on. But as for the other night, now, I full disclosure here, I do not watch every minute of every Penguins game because I don't have to. Okay, I like to watch when I can. So the other night,
your stress level's better as a result.
Probably, well, not necessarily, but anyway. So what? My wife and I are watching something on Netflix or Apple, whatever. We're watching shows on TV. I've got the computer on, so I see, okay, the Penguins, it's 0-0 for, what, half the first period. Then all of a sudden, it's 1-0. Okay, no big deal. Go back to the show, 10 minutes later, I flip back over to NHL.com, and it's 4-0. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? And Jari's already been pulled, and it's just, and I think a certain amount of the fan base, and Tyler's a Kennedy, Kennedy is a player, obviously, players aren't going to throw games. They're just not going to do it. Fans want for the betterment of the franchise. Guys are playing for jobs, as they say. You can't blame the players for trying to win. In fact, you want the players to try to win.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, for the team, it's like, oh, now they're winning. And it's a really weird dynamic as a fan when you want the players to do well. You know, you want Sid to get that Gretzky thing that he's got going on. And yet, when you watch things fall apart spectacularly, I don't know. I could go on and on. I say I don't care about it stuff anymore, but then I get riled up into a rant.
Yeah, I just think, like, when you look at the team right now, you're like, oh, especially Jari, maybe not the last game, but you're like, we needed this Jari like 3 months ago when we were in the race and we had a chance. Now he's playing lights out, and it's almost hurting them, right? It's like, no, like, we kind of want you to play how you were so we get a higher pick. But he's finding his game, and obviously last game, like, the way Tampa came out their first period, like, you knew they were going to come out hard. And I was a little nervous, especially, you know, you're at the end of the year. You got a last trip. You're in Florida. So the boys are enjoying themselves on the beach, are enjoying the sun. And Tampa was coming off two back-to-back losses.
Right.
So you knew they were going to come out guns a-blazing, and they did, and they caught the Penguins. And, again, once that one goal went in, they just kept rolling. And when I look at Tampa Bay's top line with Kucherov, Point,
Gensel.
And Gensel, like, that's the best top line I've seen the Penguins play against and be kind of, like, dominated against. The way they hung on to the puck, the way they – you know, spread the Penguins out. Like, they had a couple shifts where they were 2 minutes in the Penguins' defense, in the Penguins' own end, and the Penguins didn't touch the puck in the edge.
And they did it against the other leagues. Who's been a better line than Sid's line? And Sid was, what, a -3 after the first three goals? Well, he was on the ice for all three goals.
Well, you think, like, Sid's got to be frustrated because, like, that was him. You know what I mean? And now it's kind of like they obviously didn't match up against each other, and you can see, I felt like at the end of the game, you can see, like, Sid was like, enough's enough. Like, this is what we do, not what they do. But I was really impressed the way Tampa played. Like, they kind of have it all.
I think Mike Sullivan had given the boys the day off when they got there, so they're out in the sun. And he expected a little, you know, payback for that. Oh. In other words, a better effort. I did not, you know, they were lucky to get 14 shots. They had 7 for the longest time. I want to get back to what you said about Tristan Jarry. All those 4 goals, how many do you think were on him versus them? Because Ryan Graves was terrible in that game, and he wasn't the only one.
Like, I would say two out of the four were his fault. You know, like, when you make the initial stop, I think that's the goalie's job. But when there's a rebound and your defenseman doesn't clear the puck out or lets the offensive guy, I think it was Point that got a stick on Carlson, mm-hmm. and he put it in. Like, that's not Jari's fault, you know? And then when you think of the one that Raquel had off his skate that went in, like, that's a great job by Gensel just going to that area because you never know what can happen. So those are like 50-50 on Jari on the defense, you know? So I didn't think it deserved to get pulled, but I think Mike Sullivan knew how the game was going, and I think he knew there needed to be a change, and he didn't want to, like, let Jari stay in there and get, like, peppered because he was. So
right.
I would say
I thought the two Cirelli goals were his fault, or at least he could have saved them. One was a rebound, nobody in front of him, and the other one, I mean, you just got to make that save.
Yeah, like, right? Coming down the far side, like, especially with pressure, right? There was a stick on puck. You know, he's shooting above the top of the, like, he's shooting above the hash marks. Like, that's a stop that you're hoping your goalie can make, because those are the ones that, like, that sink you. You know, you go from 2-0 to 3-0, you're like, uh-oh, that's.
And that could also be the ones that turn it around. If you make saves and all of a sudden, you know, now you're not down three, something, they go back and score, who knows?
Yeah. I've always felt with Jari, this is an oversimplification, he's really good until he has to be. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
that's why it's
now,
difficult.
I know it's too late
to
for this
season.
Look in
the future and say how much more can you take here.
I mean, this is revisionist history, but I can say that at the time I heard about it, when I heard they gave him a 5-year deal for over $25 million, I was shocked. Yeah. I mean, I watched that playoff series against the Islanders. That was a long time ago now, which, you know, it doesn't seem like as you get older, Tyler, you'll see the days get, you know, everything goes by a little bit quicker. But it's just, I think that's, I don't know, that's the only expression I can come up with is that. Yeah. And even now, it's like they're winning. He's playing really well, and then all of a sudden, you play one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
And then the game before that was against another one of the best teams in the league. But anyway, it's just always good until he has to be. I don't know. It that's what I've always thought.
Well, you know, during the year, like, he struggled at times. You know, and a lot of times, you know. And what's kind of crazy, I feel he does have the athletic ability. He is a good goalie, but I just don't think Pittsburgh's the right fit for him. I just think he's in his head. I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I think he's more in his head in Pittsburgh than anywhere else. I think he'd be successful on another NHL team just because it's a fresh start. He needs a fresh start. And I think we talked about this before. Like, when you play in the NHL, you're playing every second game. So when you are in your head, you don't have time to refresh. And then when you think, when did he play his best hockey? After the Four Nations, when he had a little bit of a break, right? He came, you know, and I think maybe he got his head straight. But then, you know, games like last game, let's see how he responds. I'd be very interested to see who Mike Sullivan comes back, because I'd be throwing him right back in there and see, let's see what he's got. Like, I think I'd probably ride Jari the rest of the year, because I want to know, even though everyone's kind of writing him off, again, I still think you need to either showcase him to see if any team wants to take him, or at least see what you have. I know we think he's not there when you need him, but I do think he can be a real good goalie in the right situation. And it probably isn't in Pittsburgh, but I do still think he's a good goalie in an NHL goalie.
But you saw what happened when Blomqvist came up, and the team was just awful in front of him. And then
you got a young guy like that.
And then you wonder about that other kid who's down there in Wilkes-Barre, who's got goals against about one. And what would happen if they called him up? And then would his head get scrambled too? There's a lot of things that need to be fixed, obviously.
But, like, so even when Blomqvist came up, and goalie development's a lot different than forward development in defense. I think when you're a forward of defense, like, you can either play in the NHL and figure it out pretty quickly, or you can't. There's no, like, development, you know, unless you're young and you kind of one year in the A and then you're ready to go. Like, I played 1 year in the A, I figured out the pro game, and then I was ready to go. You know, when you think of the goalies, like, I know it takes a little bit longer, but, like, when Blomqvist came up and they played the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I think Mitch Marner came down the wing and kind of blew one past him far side, I'm like, huh. You know, he should have had that, you know, and I think kind of the future is Mershoff from what I'm hearing. So I went down and I was down and doing a hockey camp in Wheeling, and I was talking to some of the Wheeling Nailer coaches and this and that, and they love him. They absolutely love him. The guy loves like doing film. He stays on the ice extra long, like he's a workhorse. And one of the best things he said, he goes, if they're playing bad and the team's playing bad in front of him, he's got no problem walking in the dressing room and ripping guys to tell them to pick it up. As a 19,
it's a good quality. That's a leadership. Like, reminds me of Paul Skeens.
Exactly.
You know,
well, Ned does that too, doesn't he? At least to some degree. Although is it different at the NHL level where you have to?
Well, I think it's such a different story when you have Sid, Malkin, Letang. Like, I don't think he can go in there and rip those guys, but I think you can talk as a whole. But when you think of a guy going in a room as a young guy, like the first thing right away, you better play well, because those guys, they're just waiting for you to have a bad game to give it to you back, you know. But that takes leadership, that takes courage, and that's like kind of those traits that you either, you know, you have and you're willing to step up to the plate and be a leader, or you don't. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun training camp, because it's like a trial for like four goalies, right?
But you could have four goalies. That also means you may not have one, just like they say about quarterbacks. You got to have somebody who established it. Maybe it's going to be this Mershoff. I hope so. They need that answered quickly, because if you're going to win with these guys still in place, you got to have solid goaltending. It just doesn't work any other way.
Well, just think of like all the other really good Russian goalies. Like, we just played Vasilevskiy. Like, he's
back to his form too. Yeah, that's why Tampa Bay is a really legitimate threat. I think. In
you see
playoffs.
when he goes on his knees and he like gets his elbows up and his glove out, like there's no room to score. There's no room. Like,
would you have liked to have played, you know, 40 years ago when you saw the goalie pads were small?
Yeah,
everything. Well, it was like, just so different.
Well, you see that, then you see the sticks they're using. You're like, oh, I couldn't. You know, there's always that give and take, but. Yeah, it's a different game for sure, but those guys had a lot of different, you know, difficulties with their equipment compared to these guys. These young guys and the sticks they're using, like the puck, like absolutely like bombs off it. You know, it explodes off where you don't even, you know, when you see Ovechkin, when you see Matthews, when it comes off their stick, like you don't see it going through the air. You see it hit the goalie or hit the shin pads. You know, that's how much this technology is changing in the game.
They got great hands, too. 412-928-9370. Austin City Limits. Bechtold is back there. So are you optimistic or pessimistic about next year with the Penguins, generally speaking?
I think it depends on how you look at it, because I am somebody who wants them to draft McKenna number one overall next year. Ideally, like, they'd obviously have to hit the lottery. But I feel like if there's a way to accelerate the rebuild and the best way to do it, I mean, he's somewhat of a generational type of talent. I'm sure TK could talk about that more than I can, but that's what I think would be the best possible thing for them. So if this is a situation where it's still a waited out period, Malkin's farewell tour last year of his contract, I'm completely okay with it if we're sacrificing a year, 2 years for a really good prospect.
Yeah, but they have to win a lottery probably. And the way they're going, that might be difficult to do. But, you know, the bottom line is, Jim, and Dubas's last press conference, he made it sound like, okay, the rebuilding is done. But I thought rebuilds take time and there still should be more levels to it. But he made it sound like they're going to try to, you know, ramp this up sooner rather than later to accommodate guys like Crosby, Malkin, Letang.
They've also got two, and you talked about goalies develop, it takes them longer, it can. And defensemen take longer than forwards too, right? Isn't that, that's the wisdom there. Now, the Penguins have two really good young defensemen. Right, Brunicki and Owen Pickering, and they need mentors. And I don't think Erik Karlsson's really a mentor for a young defenseman the way that he plays, because he just plays. You know, he's a talent, and he just plays. He does what he does. But I don't know if you need guys, and you get guys to come in here that can work with these young guys to teach them. I don't know how you can how can you fast track that development and get them, because they're almost NHL ready, but not quite.
Well, I definitely think, I think that's a great point. Like, having leadership and guys that you learn off is huge. You know, when you think of the Buffalo Sabres, there's a reason why they don't win. It's because they have no veteran guys that have won, that have really done much. And the young guys come in and they can kind of say whatever and do whatever, because the guys that are there haven't done anything either, you know? And I remember my first year when you lost, there wasn't no smiling, you know, like there was no like, hey, cheery, eating pizza, watching shows. Like you're on that plane and you were forced to be like depressed because that's how the old guys just like, it was not acceptable to lose. It was not acceptable to like not have a good game. And that was from Sidney Crosby, Billy Guerin, Cooney, all those guys down to guys like me, guys like Stalzi. And then when they end up leaving, that culture, that attitude stayed, you know. And when you think of Sidney Crosby, like you want to talk about a guy that cares about winning. And I remember he was talking about P.O. Joseph. And he's like, last year, he goes, I just want to make sure P.O. Joseph knows it's not okay not to make the playoffs. Like, it's not okay to lose two or three games in a row. And it was interesting Sid saying that because it was all about that culture, that winning attitude. And you don't get that unless you have guys like Sid, Malkin, Tanger on the team.
Well, then to have Guerin come into the, I mean, you were probably in the, I believe legend has it, you were there, you know, that he came into the locker room and right away went after Sid. You know, because here's a veteran guy. You know how quiet Sid is and how intense he is. And then to have somebody, you know, I don't know what that says to other guys, but it's not, I don't know if there are guys out there who would want to even come to the Penguins now that, because back then, if you were a guy like Billy Guerin, you wanted to come to the Penguins because you saw the talent that you guys, the young talent that you guys had. And I don't know if there's a player out there that can fit that bill that would be a good, you know, a good addition here.
It's so tough because, like, you know, when you think of Crosby, you know, like, these guys grew up with a poster of him in their room. You know, it's like when I went to camp, training camp, and Mario was in camp, you know, I couldn't say a thing because I was so nervous because it was Mario Lemieux, the guy I watched growing up, and now I'm like trying to pass the puck, and I'm like, I just hope it goes near or sticks somewhere, you know? But guys like Sid have so much respect that I really do think it's hard for a young guy to come in and feel comfortable because Sid has such a legendary like aura about him from what everything he's done. But guys like Billy Guerin would come in, and not just Billy, like Hal Gill, Dupuy. Like, Sid was just another one of the guys, and like, you know, he liked getting roasted just like everyone else. And, you know, and Billy Guerin was one of the best chirpers ever. You know, you get a new haircut, you get any new clothes.
Gotta keep them loose. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. And that's where, like, Sid enjoyed it, you know. Like, we had a lot of good guys, but that's what makes a good team. You have a mixture of guys that are serious, like a Craig Adams, you know, a Brooks Orpik, and then you have some jokesters like Billy Guerin, Max Talbot, Dupuy, and then you put them together, and that's where you get that common ground of, like, that compete where you'll do anything to win and you're dialed in, and then where you let off the gas a little bit and you enjoy still going to the rink. You know?
Here's a semi-non-sequitur here. I remember back in this is back at the Igloo, right, the change room, okay? Yeah. And it was, I don't know when it was, playoffs maybe, but we're back there waiting to talk to somebody, and the TV's on up top. PJ Stock is on TV, okay? And he made some comment about something. I don't even think it was Penguin-related.
Yeah.
Guerin says, he goes, I got to go and make a phone call and tell PJ to blank the blank up, basically.
Yeah.
So that was just hilarious.
Well, that kind of stuff goes on, and we've seen it in there, in the sacred ground that is a locker room.